music and talk radio about all things all genders. This is Intravenous, live on CJSF 90.1 FM, discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through a feminist lens. Our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemon.
This is CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby Campus Community Radio from Simon Fraser University. Burnaby is located on the ancestral and unceded homelands of the Haukamelum and Squamish-speaking peoples. Welcome, good morning everybody to Intravenous. I am Rebecca, the public affairs intern here at the station. And today we have an interview that was conducted by Silo from the SVSPO, which is the Sexual Violence Support and Prevention Office here on campus at SFU. And she has featured on Intravenous a couple of times before. She spoke about consent and the importance of consent and what consent means, how consent can be represented in different ways, and we have also had a discussion with her regarding the sexualization of women at Halloween, especially through the costumes that are created and made available to women compared to those available to men. And if those episodes sound interesting to you, you can go listen to them. They are archived in the Intravenous program playlist on our website at cjsf.ca. Now, today we have an interview that she conducted with Dr. Gourmet. I'm sorry if I pronounced that incorrectly. They are going to be discussing the concept of singlehood and the social pressures that are surrounding relationships. And I find this to be a really interesting topic, actually, because I think especially at a young age, many people feel as though there is a rush on relationships, particularly women, with the concept of the biological clock that is ticking away. And if they... I mean, I've seen it with my friends, but if they feel like all of their friends are in relationships, they feel like they're being left behind and end up rushing to get into one, which is not always the healthiest thing. But Silo and Dr. Gourmet are going to be discussing why people should be embracing singlehood, enjoying it, rather than being stressed about settling down and finding the one, as well as just the social pressures that come with relationships. But before I hand it over to Silo, I thought I would share a song with you all that I've really been enjoying listening to. And this song is called Bread by the duo Sophie Tucker, which is made up of two New York-based artists, Sophie Hawley-Weld and Tucker Halpern. They are mainly an electronic dance duo, and their latest album, which is also called Bread, has become one of my favorite albums to listen to at the moment, especially their song Woof, which I have often played on my open mic sessions on a Thursday. It is a very cool and unique album. They've got some multilingual songs on there, and I don't often listen to electronic dance music in my spare time, but this one I have been just obsessed with, and I strongly recommend that you check it out. It's a very unique album, like I said. I've never heard anything like it. And it's Femcon, which is another plus for the album. So yeah, definitely check it out. And stay tuned for Silo's interview with Dr. Gourmet that will be coming up after I play the song. And also for Democracy Now that will be coming up next after Intravenous at 11 until 12. But until then, here is the song Bread by Sophie Tucker.
I don't believe in what you call purity. It's an archaic sound. get out, I eat bread.
The Sexual Violence Support and Prevention Office, SVSPO, offers confidential support, advice, and referrals to SFU and FIC community members, including students, staff, and faculty, who have been impacted by sexual violence and misconduct. The SVSPO is a welcoming place where you can access support without judgment or assumptions. We work from a survivor-centered perspective, using an empowerment and trauma-informed approach that considers individual situations and perspectives. Please reach out. Services are located at the Diamond Alumni Center, room 014 on the lower level. Please reach out by email at sv-support@sfu.ca. That was sv-support@sfu.ca.
Good morning, everyone. Before I start, I would like to acknowledge that we are currently located on the traditional and unceded territories of the Coast Salish people, including the Tsleil-Waututh, Coquitlam, Squamish, and Musqueam Nations. Hi, my name is Salo, and I'm here on behalf of the SVSPO, that's the Sexual Assault Support and Prevention Office. And today I'm here with Dr. Shruthika Girme, an associate professor at SFU who teaches about intimate relationships. Her expertise provides an overview of attachment-related insecurities, support, provision, and seeking singlehood, and psychological well-being. So today we're going to have a little interview with Dr. Shruthika Girme. But before we start, I want to start right off with a song. And this is Please by Camila and Eva Luna.
No hay necesidad de ver con una lupa para ver mis defectos que de a montaña se agrupan. No me los tengas en cuenta, que comparado con lo que siento por ti son una cosa diminuta.
Toda mi casa se llenó de
no me falta, no me faltará. Y
Hello again, this is Salo, and I'm here with SVSPO. Dr. Girma is joining us today to talk about singlehood and social pressure surrounding relationships. So before I let you introduce yourself, a little bit of background on the work Dr. Girma does. So other than being an associate professor at SFU, she also leads the Secure Research Lab at SFU and has a podcast called Merlot with My Beau. Here they talk about the psychology behind close relationships. So now that we have introduced yourself, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself, the work you do, or anything else you would like us to know about you?
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me on the show, first of all. It's exciting to be here and exciting to talk to, you know, fellow SFU listeners. So yeah, as you sort of nicely already set me up, my name is Dr. Yuthika Girma. I'm an associate professor in the Department of Psychology at SFU, and my research focuses on reconciling the complexities that are really evident in our close relationships. And so the work that we do in our lab focuses on romantic couples, as well as people who are single, and trying to understand when can people have really secure and satisfying lives.
Well, that's great. And if I'm not mistaken, you have the podcast with your partner, right?
Yeah. So it's an educational podcast. It's called Merlot with My Beau. And I started it when we had to move all our teaching online due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Yeah. So we touch on, research and lectures around close relationships, as well as individual differences in personality. So those are the two courses that I predominantly teach at SFU. And it's just like, it's been a nice way for, I think, students to engage with the research. Of course, I teach in-person courses as well, but having the podcast is always a fun kind of additional way to engage with the material.
It's like a good way to have like an extra knowledge, extra learning experience too from your classes, I guess, too, from your students.
Yeah, exactly. Especially, you know, one of the reasons that I created the podcast is because I know that everyone learns in a different way, right?
Yeah.
So for some students, coming to lecture is, that's enough. But for other students, they often feel like they want to re-listen to the lecture.
Yeah.
And so the podcast just offers an opportunity for people to do that. And because it's a podcast, it's sort of on the go. So I often have students telling me that they listen to it on like the bus ride into campus or while they're folding laundry. So it
That's
just sort
great.
Of gives people flexibility. Yeah.
That's amazing. Then I want to start off with some questions here. Like, to me, it's really interesting that you're like putting psychology and relationship together. I think that's something I had never seen before like look into you. So
yeah.
I want to start the conversation with maybe what do you mean by the psychology behind relationship? So can you tell us a little bit more about it? Like, what does it really mean to study the psychology and relationships, or how they interconnect together?
Yeah, and I think, you know, this is interesting because everyone has close relationships with their family, their friends, their romantic partners. And so often people kind of think, oh, relationships are just really like common knowledge. And I think people are less aware that there are actually a lot of psychology professors that actually research and study close and intimate relationships. And so this includes understanding how single people navigate dating and who single people want to get into relationships, if at all. But also, once people are in relationship, what are the ways that can help people maintain really secure, satisfying, and stable romantic relationships? And this is really important, right? Because often having really secure and satisfying close relationships has downward consequences for our psychological and physical health and happiness. But what people often don't understand or don't kind of are not as aware of is that there are a lot of lay beliefs that exist in society that don't actually, they're not really supported by empirical studies and empirical research. So, for example, there are a lot of myths about relationships, what is a good relationship, what makes relationships work. But the research suggests that those kinds of societal beliefs and theories might not actually be all that accurate. And so the science of relationships is really important to give us, you know, more empirical,
like objective,
exactly. Yeah, really empirical and objective understandings of how relationships work.
Yeah, and I think like something really important that you touch into is like that singlehood aspect of it. Because I feel like when we think about like relationship, we always think about like the idea of finding a partner, like building a life together with someone, but we forget about ourselves in the process too. So like that like little part of like being single, getting to know yourself. And I think that's something I want to like touch on too, like this idea of like singlehood. And I think like on your secure lab, secure research lab webpage, they have a statement about your research regarding understanding factors that maximize single people's well-being. So my question would be, how can people navigate singlehood from a positive lens, especially when there's like this, as you were saying, like societal expectation to have a someone? And can you also talk about from the, like, for me, like in a cultural viewpoint, like being from Latin America, I know, like in Argentina specifically, finding a partner is like the ultimate goal. Like you like go through life finding people, and then like once you have like that someone, okay, you're mature now, you're an adult, you are fulfilled in a way. That's how people see it. So maybe can you tell us about like something secure research life found that could like help people understand how to navigate singlehood and what singlehood means, maybe from not a negative lens.
Yeah, and you know, this is really interesting to me because my training is in close relationships, predominantly from like romantic relationship background. Mm-hmm. And historically, relationship scholars have often just compared single people to people who are married or people who are in long-term relationships.
Right.
And they've often found that like on average, single people tend to be less happy than those who are coupled. But the research didn't really ask why. Which I think is really problematic because it sort of left the door open for a lot of negative assumptions and stereotypes about single people and singlehood, right? So, for example, you talk about this in your experience, this idea that single people, you know, might be unhappy because they don't have the love of a partner and that somehow means that their life isn't complete. And so those are the types of, you know, stereotypes and assumptions that we're really trying to test empirically and see if, like, how truthful is that? Or are there other important factors that need to be understood in trying to really understand single people's happiness and well-being? And so the lab that I lead here at SFU, it's called the Secure Lab, which focuses on singlehood experiences and complexities underlying relationships. And we're doing research that really tries to understand why single people may be at the risk of lower well-being. So, for example, some of the emerging research that we have in our lab has shown that people tend to hold negative stereotypes about single people, and that single people are often unhappy because they experience discrimination from the very people they may turn to for support, like their family and their friends.
It's more about the pressure, maybe.
That's exactly right. And so that's really important, right? Because I think often, you know, historically the research has suggested that like, oh, single people are unhappy because they're insecure, they're lonely, they're miserable. But actually our research is showing that single people are often experiencing like risk to be unhappy because of the way that they're being treated by other people.
Okay.
That it has nothing really to do with themselves or their singlehood, but if their family and friends are playing a part, you know, in making them feel pressured to be in a relationship or being left out of social events, for example, because they're single, or just sort of constantly being asked, you know, are you seeing anyone? Are you dating? When are you going to settle down? Time is ticking.
It's like the constant reminder of like the outside world onto you more than like you thinking about it all the time.
Yeah. And so I think that's, you know, that's the first step, I think, in this research is really first debunking a lot of the negative myths about singlehood. And then, of course, we can turn our attention, and we have, to aspects of singlehood that actually help single people thrive.
Mm-hmm. Like, with that, like, you mean, like, I'm like, what I get from that, like, statement, at least, is like maybe having time to, like, know yourself or, like, experience your life as your own person in a way, like, grow on yourself? Or, like, what do you really mean by that?
Like, having, yeah, I mean, so there's lots of stuff, right? So, for example, it's not just like one answer. What we have shown, or, you know, in our lab, is that one of the things that sort of consistently comes up as a big benefit of being single is having a lot of freedom, autonomy, and independence to just like pursue the stuff that you want to pursue. So that could be like, you know, your education or career or your hobbies, goals, activities, whatever it is that you want to do that makes you feel like you're living your most sort of free and authentic life. Singlehood can often like allow people to feel that way and experience that. And so that's sort of an important piece, right? Mm-hmm. So like you sort of mentioned, having time to focus on yourself, I think singlehood gives people an amazing opportunity to do that. And then there's also all this other research that is coming out recently showing that single people really thrive and that they're really happy when they're able to sort of meet their needs for connection and intimacy through non-romantic relationships. So that's not to say that romantic relationships aren't important and that we should just forego them. I think it's completely valid to want to be in a romantic relationship. But I guess just being a little bit more open-minded to the idea that, you know, getting into a romantic relationship isn't just going to like magically fix all your problems, and that we have lots of other important relationships that are worth our time and effort, right? And that these can be really rewarding. So our relationships with our family, our friends, people in our community, right? If you're involved in a club, for example, and that's like a really important source of belonging for you, that these are all other types of relationships in our life that we can still build up. And that's sort of an important aspect of being in a, you know, being happy, being single.
Yeah. Yes, that's really important to me too. Like, I was thinking, like, when you were talking about other relationships, and it's also, you cannot really enter a relationship if you're not good with yourself too. Like, as you say, like, it's not a magical thing that will like solve your problems, like make you happy if you enter a romantic relationship.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not in a good like mindset, if you're not good with yourself, that's just going to be like cover the pain for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then what happened? Like, if you don't really have that connection with yourself too, like what happens after the relationship or what happened during the relationship?
Yeah, and you know, our research is starting to show a little bit of evidence of the negative impact of this. So, for example, we ran some research looking at this idea of relationship pedestal beliefs, right, which is this idea that people have to be in a romantic relationship if they have to be truly happy and truly fulfilled in life. And we conducted some research on predominantly single, but also coupled people. And across four different studies, we showed that when people endorse this relationship pedestal belief, if they think that people have to be in a romantic relationship to be truly happy and fulfilled, that actually makes them more fearful of being single. And that is associated with less life satisfaction. And for coupled people, it can also be associated with less relationship satisfaction.
Okay.
And so that's really important because these ideas are super pervasive. Okay. It's not something that just influences single people. It also impacts people who are currently in a relationship, right? Because then it makes you want to hold on really tight to that romantic relationship because you're too scared about being single.
Yeah. Like, what happened once like this is over? Like, what? Like, exactly. I'm happy because of this. So
exactly. So it's kind of like, you know, some research coming out of our lab showing that putting romantic relationships on this pedestal is not necessarily healthy, right? And that's not to say that you shouldn't be in a romantic relationship or that's not a common and valid want. But like we were sort of saying, our romantic partners, they can't just fix our problems. They can't just magically make everything, you know, better. It might help in a lot of ways. Like, we know romantic relationships help people in a lot of ways in terms of their psychological and physical well-being, but we shouldn't be reliant on that. Yeah. And we need to be considering, you know, as a person, what are the things that I can do to really set myself up for happiness and success.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea too. And like also, I mean, like you were mentioning how it is usually the external factor like that makes single people feel bad about themselves, like the constant pressure. And that got me thinking too about like social media, like the media in general, and how like most stories are portrayed with this like heterosexual normative, like finding the partner. Like the whole plot of the movie is like finding the partner and the happy ending is like they like living together, having a family, getting married. So we have like that whole idea on TV every day.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking like this is also one of the factors that may single people feel like ashamed of like being single, like they're not getting that happy ending at the end.
Absolutely.
How can we like work towards like ensuring singlehood and understand the importance of being by ourselves and appreciating our singlehood when these ideas are portrayed in the media? Because I get the external factors of like friends, family, we can like maybe talk with them. Or it's like a like closer connection, so they might read the room in some occasions.
Mm-hmm.
But that's so much different when you constantly see it, or like on TV and Instagram, Facebook, like a constant reminder online of the media. How can we deal with that?
Yeah, you know, that's a really tough question, because I think it's so easy to just be like, oh, just like don't listen to that.
Hey, it's just channels.
You know? It's so easy to say that, but I know that that's really hard to just push aside, you know, like I can't think of a single TV show or a movie, for example, that really shows singlehood in a positive light. And even in shows that have really like sex positive and autonomous, independent characters.